RadioArchives.com presents The Phantom Detective Magazine from Summer 1953. Murder's Agent. The 170th Adventure of the Phantom Detective. Nemesis of Crime by Robert Wallace. Read by Milton Bagby. Desperate for a purpose in life, millionaire playboy Richard Curtis Van Loan dedicates himself to a one-man campaign to rid the nation of organized crime and big-time racketeers. Reborn from the ashes of war, Van Loan returns to find his home in the stranglehold of gangsters and murderers. Donning a domino mask and teaching himself deduction and the art of disguise, he takes on crime single-handedly as the mysterious Phantom Detective. His true identity known only by one person, Van Loan swings his way into mystery, a specially made platinum badge shaped like a domino mask his business card. This master of disguise, deduction, and psychology delivers his own unique brand of law and order to the underworld as the Phantom Detective. And now, the Phantom Detective's pulse-pounding mystery adventure, Murder's Agent. Chapter 1. The pale blue hardtop club coupe slid to the curb on a side street just off Fifth Avenue. Behind the wheel sat lovely, dark-haired Muriel Havens, daughter of one of the country's wealthiest and most influential men, Frank Havens, publisher of a coast-to-coast string of newspapers. In Muriel's dark eyes was usually a hint of laughter, but they were serious now. So were the eyes of the girl sitting beside her, attractive Nancy Arnold, who had been Muriel's close friend since before their Deb days. The names of both girls were familiar ones to readers of the society columns. Nancy's nervousness was plainly evident in the way she kept clasping and unclasping her hands and shifting her glance as if she expected someone to come sneaking up on her. She said anxiously, "Muriel, will you try to reach the Phantom again? Please." "It won't be of any use," Muriel told her. "I've tried 4 times already. When he goes out for an evening, he usually stays out later than this." Nancy glanced at her watch. "It'll be 11 in only 30 minutes, Muriel. Half an hour, and I'm scared stiff." "Well, I'm not exactly overcome with joy, Nan. Give me that story again. Just when did your sister go away?"
"Why, Muriel, you surely know that Kathy went abroad a year ago."
"Abroad? I knew she went somewhere, and that you never mention it. But you've never said where she'd gone before."
"Haven't I? I must have forgotten. Anyway, I know she got a passport, and that she was supposed to have sailed for Europe. I didn't know what day she was planning to sail, because I never knew anything about her after that day. Muriel, that's the last I heard of my sister Kathy, until tonight."
"It's not difficult to check on an American citizen traveling abroad," Muriel said. "Why didn't you try that?"
"I did. I went to every foreign legation in New York, but not one had granted her a visa. None of our legations all over the world knew a single thing about her, and I couldn't even find her name on any steamship or plane passenger list."
"Then she couldn't have gone," Muriel said promptly.
"I don't believe she did either," Nancy declared, "and for a still better reason. She carried a letter of credit, but she's never drawn on it."
"Are you sure it was Kathy who phoned you at 9? Muriel insisted.
"I'm positive. It couldn't have been anyone else. I made her tell me little things that only Kathy and I could possibly know. Muriel, she didn't sound like Kathy, and I wanted to be sure."
Muriel said thoughtfully, "Your sister, missing a year, phones at 9 and wants to meet you in Bryant Park at 11, 2 hours later. That hardly gives you much time to make any plans about what to do when you do meet her. Maybe that's just..."